Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help you build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive-minded outlook and successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful right now, and some you will hang on the hook for another time, depending on when you need to pick it back up. This week's tool is values, and why it is important to examine what we value in order to include them in our lives and be able to invest our time spent based on our identified values. Value management is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and that being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. Think about this. We all have 168 hours a week, including the President of the United States. How does POTUS have the ability to manage an entire world in the same week that you can barely get the laundry and the dishes done, let alone your lovemaking time or your trip to the library? Yes, of course he has staff and many things are decided for him by a team. But what the real reason is that this entire team values the same things: what is best for our country. When we talk about time management, we can get classes on how to assign chores, delegate work, create calendars, plan ahead, how to avoid procrastination. But like resolutions or goals, if where we spend our time does not resonate with us, we will fail on the follow through. Really, what we want to do is boil this down to values. This can be a great way to take charge of your life. If you examine what values are and make your choices around what yours are, then you will be spending time doing those things that give you meaning and pleasure. We need to be aware of our values so that we engage in things on a daily basis that bring us joy and satisfaction, and that leads to a satisfied existence. So, time management, in the sense that we are talking about it here on U Inc., seems like an exercise in temporal mastery, but in reality, when we allocate our time based in our values, what we are really becoming masters of is our own existence. Now, what do I mean by value management? In my seminars to professionals of Fortune 500 companies and speaking at national conferences, I help people find out how they are spending their time and then, in turn, think about how they would like to actually be spending their time based on their values. You can find links to the publications that I published in esteemed periodicals of our sister media outlet, CitySceneColumbus.com, as well as the podcasts for the show and previous ones. And you can also find them on WCBE/programs/U-Inc, in addition to the books that we also discuss. So let's start on how do you spend your 168 hours a week. I call this the real wheel. I typically ask participants in my seminars to create a pie chart and map out their sleep, commute to work hours, and every hour of their leisure or extracurricular time, as well as domestic duties, including spending quality time and hobbies. Then, I ask participants to fill out their ideal wheel of how they would like to spend that 168 hours a week. Like many, our knee-jerk reaction is to think of ourselves on a beach sipping a Bodie Double IPA from Columbus Brewing Company. But if you value providing for your child, having a roof over your head, or eating, for example, not to mention beers cost money as well, you can't just be a beachcomber. But there are exceptions to every rule. Someone might think to themselves, chuck it. I don't value any of that stuff, so what is holding me back? Or they value this lifestyle and will find a way to make it happen, being inclusive of their values of providing for their families. So through this exercise, we gain an awareness of how our values should help us set goals and prioritize activities so that time is spent on what matters most. So on a more basic level, time management is setting goals that actualize our values, choosing activities that enable us to reach the goals that we have set based on our values. So keeping the previous exercise in mind, we need to think of a value we have for home and a value for work as an example, and then the goals that we want to have to make that happen. And finally, identify the day-to-day activities that we need to engage in. So to recap, values are the moral framework which sets the stage for goal setting. Goals are measurable, achievable benchmarks which actualize our values and give focus to our activities. And activities are the incremental steps that we take to achieve our goals. I encourage you to put those activities in great detail in your calendar and plan out days, weeks, and months. I even put entries into the following year for both work and home. If it isn't on your calendar, it isn't going to happen, and you will spend the next year wondering where all the time went. One more thing we need to do before I hand off this tool of value management is to identify obstacles to successful time management. The first one I already mentioned is lack of goal setting and planning, keeping in mind that they need to be guided by our values. When we take care to examine our values and follow a path of our choosing, you should find it easier to be successful, but you also need to have the self-discipline to make it happen. So just do it. Another barrier that happens both at home and work is procrastination. Usually that happens when we don't like what we have to do, which mostly should be addressed by following our insights into what our values are. But inevitably, there will be things that we just have to do. The book, Faster, Better, Smarter, gives us a hack into motivating ourselves into action. So what you do is you create a choice around the task. Choose to do it during a certain time of the day. Choose to do it in a different room. Or choose to do it while listening to a particular set of tunes. That choice can spur us into action. Delegation is another barrier, so we overwhelm ourselves with responsibilities and run out of physical time to GTD, getting things done. The book by the same name by David Allen, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity, talks about how to delegate in terms of asking, but also by trusting. Same thing for our co-lifers, kids, and spouses. They need to have their set of responsibilities to help things hum around the house. Most recently, I had begun to realize that I was loading and unloading the dishwasher all the time. So I cut back on being in the kitchen all the time to service the needs of everyone, and even the little five-year-old has to put her dishes straight into the dishwasher. The flip side of this is the inability to say no. This happens to many of us socially. If you don't want to attend a work event, then say, no, thank you. If you don't want to go to 5 family Thanksgivings, say, no, I simply can't with the kids in the drive time. If you don't want to do church groups or church at all because it does not bring value into your life, then don't do it. Start a garden to work in on Sundays instead, if that brings you joy and closer to the gift of life. My favorite way of saying no is leading in with a compliment. Oh, thank you for the invitation. That sounds great. Let me think about it. And then spend a moment really thinking if this is something I want to get involved in, and also check and see if it is feasible with my current obligations. Do not let FOMO get the best of you. Of course, there are emails and phone interruptions and so many other things that is for a different show, and that show would be about work efficiency, not for this one. And finally, of course, we have crises. However, I find that crises happen less to hardly ever when I am constantly proactive and prepared and have awareness as to what is happening around me in my personal and work environments. However, things will happen and this will get us off track, and that is okay. Tend to what is most important in that moment, and crises require our full attention to resolve, and then once resolved, we can get back to what matters. Until you value yourself, you won't value your time. And until you value your time, you will not do anything with it. And that is a quote from M. Scott Peck, the author of The Road Less Traveled, and his perspective on love in The Road Less Traveled is that love is not a feeling, it is an activity and an investment of time. So maybe we should all be praying for time. Kathy Gill is the president and CEO of City Scene Media Group. Founded in 1999, City Scene Media Group is Columbus's source for premier arts, entertainment and style happenings, interviews, health and wellness, and cutting-edge content, and it has the largest circulation and readership of any Central Ohio magazine, reaching Central Ohio's most affluent demographic. CMG also publishes Tri-Village, Westerville, Pickerington, Dublin Life, Healthy New Albany, and most recently a state-run journal, Health Scene Magazine. She has built City Scene Media Group into a network of community magazines that consistently outshines her competition. Her attention to detail, relationship-building skills, and integrity have earned her the position of president and board member of the American Advertising Federation and the March of Dimes of Central Ohio. Originally from New York, Kathy lives with her husband Jim in Columbus, and they have raised four very successful daughters. The sky is the limit with Kathy at the helm. Welcome, Kathy Gell.
Thanks, Rhea.
So our subject today is time, basically how we value our time. So I'd like to know, what was it like to be locked in a room and having to figure out how to get out in time before the zombies got you?
Oh, no. I went to the lockdown.
Yes, I know. What was that like?
It was a little bit nerve-wracking. And I was there with my family. And then another family. So it was a little bit interesting because we, as our family, know how we interact as a team. But we were actually interacting with another family as well. So
now, was this that you just happened to be thrown in with them? Or these are people you went with?
Okay. They were just people who signed up for the same day and time that we did.
Okay.
It was a riot. It was so funny watching how between my kids and my husband and this other family, it's like I immediately could identify the other family. You know, you can see the strengths and weaknesses of their kids. It's like, this is how they interact. And look at how my kids interact. So it was fun. And we actually got out before the zombies came. We had like 5 minutes to spare.
I remember you and I were talking once about your recent trip to France. And we talked about all the publications that you're in charge of and the boards that you're a member of. And I think it was like last year that I think you went to France, and you had mentioned that, you know, it was a struggle to step away for a long time and overseas, but you made yourself kind of go, you kind of pushed yourself into it. What did you learn in terms of from that experience that can inspire others in terms of examining their lives and the choices that they might make in terms of what they value in their time?
Wow. It was a huge decision. Mm-hmm. It was a very easy decision. And yes, you're right. I learned a lot from it. The decision-making process of will I go was a split second. Our second oldest daughter called up and said, hey, I'm going to be transitioning jobs. I'm going to have this time off. And I want to go to Paris. Do you want to come with me? And hands down, if an adult child asks you to go on a trip, you need to clear everything. And, you know, my response was, absolutely. And are you inviting dad to come as well? Or am I getting divorced? I mean, it was, I'm going. And so the three of us went. Mm. And it was amazing. It was a good trip for me to get my ducks in a row and look at something that I've been looking into, which is succession planning. Mm. So anyway, these things all kind of roll around. So yeah, I went on vacation for 2 weeks, but somehow it impacted my views on succession planning.
I haven't heard this word succession planning. I have an inkling of what that might be. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Oh my gosh, succession planning is the huge weight on anyone who is a small business owner. Mm-hmm. Succession planning, it's the 10-ton, you know, gorilla on your back. What happens if I get hit by a bus tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Is my company going to go on? Who's qualified? Who's effective? Who is going to take care of the business when I'm not there? Right. It doesn't have to be getting hit by a bus.
Right.
I'm being overly dramatic. Sure. But it could be that someone is out for an extended illness, or, you know, a family member, or it can be a happy, joyful time. We just had our accounting manager who was off for maternity for 12 weeks. You know, the same thing can be true for, you know, Garth, our editor for City Scene, who had a baby. So it's like there's, you know, the succession plan, I think, in a short term is who's covering your job when you're out. Mm-hmm. But what takes succession plan a little bit further is what if you don't come back? It's like, I think that if you love your job and you're passionate about your job and, you know, your product, whatever that is, you have a vested interest in how that will live on beyond your days working at the office.
Right. So this quote comes from Gianna, your VP of sales. Kathy is a great person to work for. She is always supportive and comes up with good solutions whenever there are problems. Kathy is very often working on 8 to 9 different projects at the same time and still makes time to make sure that everyone is on the same page with the goals and direction of the company. And I agree with Gianna. Knowing your work ethic and having seen you in action with individuals and even myself, I always feel that you genuinely care. How do you do that with managing so many people and, you know, even having a large family? You mentioned you have 50 cousins. How do you take time in your workplace to make people feel that they're special?
Well, I hope I do.
I think you do.
I think it comes back to your topic, which mm-hmm. is the value. And what really sets us apart as human beings is that we have a set of ethics and morals and values. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of that comes from how you're raised. It's also how you raise yourself. There's the colliding of those two worlds. But in my value system, if you will, people come first. Family mm-hmm. comes first. People come first. So I think that there are simple things that are very, very important to any organization, and you can apply them in your home life. You can apply them in your social friends yep. kind of arena, and you can certainly apply them in your business world. I spent a lot of time in the home world. I mm-hmm. mean, I stayed home with the kids and, for 16 years. Mm-hmm. It was a really long maternity mm-hmm. leave.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
So for 16 years, I dealt with a variety of different problems and people and from the ages. And I think that really helped me to be a better manager when I came back into the workforce, if you will. And it very much cemented my value that people come first. And so that's one of the things that we do at our office is each person, when they come in the morning, says hello. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, everyone says, goodbye, mm-hmm. have a nice night. Mm-hmm. And we recently had a new person join our team in September, and he was blown away. He's mm-hmm. like, wow, people came in and said hello to me this morning. Is this because I'm the new guy?
Yeah.
And it's like, we kind of do that every day. And he was very surprised. And he's been in business for 25 years or more, and this is the first time he's been in a culture like ours.
Looking at kind of your history in the biz, you were director of publishing in 1986, kind of in the middle of a very successful career. And then you had this 15, 16 year, like you said, leaving the business and then coming back and exploding on the scene with City Scene Media Group. So what happened during that time?
That I was home?
Yeah. You had kids.
Well, let's see, four daughters, a number of dogs. So same husband, I don't know.
Right.
So,
but as a mother myself, I stepped away a little bit yeah. from my career, but not fully mm-hmm. like you did.
Yeah.
I kind of worked around my kids, and I found that a lot of times it'd be stressful. Like, I feel like I wasn't giving enough here, giving enough there. But I think the thing that kind of kept me involved was a lot of research shows, actually, that women who step away completely from their careers, it's very dangerous for them to be able to come back. Alexander Kerr, she's some first focus consultant. She said, I think it's really pretty much universally understood that everyone has to accept that things will not be the same when you come back. So it wasn't exactly the same for you because you came back and you were very successful. So what's the secret of success of making this new era of time work for you?
Okay, so actually it was a completely different world when I came back. When you think in 1986, I mean, we were using fax machines and we didn't have computers, period. There was no internet.
Right.
In 2001, it was completely different.
Wow.
And the way I think there are a couple of things that helped to ease my transition. Number one is, yes, I wasn't going to the office at all. I stayed connected through networking mm-hmm. with some of my business associates and some of the people that I worked with previously. So I made an effort to stay connected, whether it was going out to lunch with someone to catch up on what was going on in the industry, going to something like an AdFed luncheon mm-hmm. or a PRSA for the public relations, So I did a little bit of that. I was, president of the, little PTA at my kids' preschool. I helped them put out their newsletters because that was like part of my core competency,
mm-hmm,
right?
Sure.
And, if you know that you ever get a paperback and it's got a typo in it, I'm like going, oh no, I can't take it. So I had to help out for things like that. But then I also had a very active group of other mothers mm-hmm. who were very similar to me, who were staying home with their kids as well. Mm-hmm. And we actually formed for our kids' school and parish, we formed a couple of fundraisers that are still ongoing today.
That's great.
So that helped us to utilize. I was like, oh, let me do the marketing and let me help get some design. And these are the things, it's like to publicize the events that we were doing. And so it was a very cool part to stay connected a little bit that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, my first year was not what I anticipated because I came back to work uh-huh. part time mm-hmm. and I was home mm-hmm. part-time, mm-hmm. which means I had two very, very full-time jobs.
Yep.
And I was not able to achieve what I wanted to achieve in either arena. And that's when I had to do one of those, a stop, aha moment. What am I going to do? How is this going to work? And so I had to go back to family first. How do we organize? How do we delegate? How do we structure what needs to happen at the house? Which then allowed me to go and do what I wanted to do with my career. Mm-hmm. And it was really important to me. We haven't touched on this topic, but mm-hmm. I have four daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school in the 70s. Like Title IX, like, I mean, girls didn't do this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was very, very different. And in the 80s, when I left the playing field, if you will, it was like, oh, okay, bye-bye. She's going to have no. This is like it was very important for me to come back and be a role model.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned once in a conversation to me that you don't like to get up before a certain time in the morning. And so I love it because you're clear about your values and you're unapologetic about them because this is how it guides you and how you plan your day. So how do you utilize this and kind of plan your just daily life, taking on a smaller scale?
Some people are morning people, not me. And so I think it's important to know that about yourself. And I really relish having the time in the morning for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have time for me, everybody, and that is me. I am more effective in the afternoon. So although I will, on occasion, and with a little bit of protest, take a 7 or 7:30 a.m. meeting, I'm way happier to do a 7 p.m. meeting.
Right.
But I will schedule my day. This is what I do. I schedule my day at night before I go home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think I read it a long time ago, probably not my original idea, but it really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage everybody at my company to do the same thing.
Yep.
You know, before I leave, kind of a little bit of what did I get done today? What didn't get done, what needs to get done tomorrow, and I do my to-do list because when I come in the morning, I know I am not at the top of my game. So it's right there for me to easily say, okay, priority today is A, B, C, and D.
Right.
Done. And I can walk in and not have to sit there and go, oh, what am I going to do today? And I just dive in and get, yep, and start achieving results.
Right. And we talked about that was one of the great mm-hmm. ways that once you examine your values, once you know how you want to yep. spend your time planning ahead, mm-hmm. you're able to execute that. So let's mm-hmm. take a look at the flip side, Kathy. Sometimes we all feel overwhelmed. We feel like time is slipping away from us. And we talked about some of those barriers earlier. So maybe you can give us some pro tips. How do you handle saying no?
Oh, it's a work in progress.
Okay, good enough.
It is. It's a work in progress. And I feel like as I've gotten older, it's been easier for me to say no. And, you know, I have a girlfriend who says, you know, no is a complete sentence. And I need to remind myself of that, you know, you don't always have to give excuses.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's okay to just say no.
What is a pro tip you have for procrastination?
I am such a procrastinator, but I sometimes refuse to let myself do this. And this goes back to college, that I make rules for myself.
Good.
Inside. I mean, I will tell you, I went to journalism school. I have a degree in journalism from The Ohio State University. I don't know if it was junior year that it's like every Monday morning, I had an 8 a.m. class. Remember, not the morning person.
Right.
10-page paper, pre-computers, oh, yeah. It's like typing on a typewriter. And if there's one typo, you get an F.
Oh, wow.
And so I made a rule for myself, and it was the best thing that ever happened in college. It was like, I can't go out to, you know, party and be a college student on Friday until this paper is done and perfect. And I forced myself because I knew if I didn't do that, I'd be setting my alarm for 5 a.m. Monday morning and sleeping through it and just saying, it's really not that important.
Yep.
So I guess I make rules for myself.
Yep.
I have other rules. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Okay.
But I, you know, I think that part of it goes back to when I was a child and my mother was like, all right, you want to go outside and play? Well, do you have homework? Get your homework done first and then see how much time you have to play, right? So it's about time management.
Yep.
So I think that's like my tip for against procrastinating,
right.
Is like, think about what's important, number one. And then I usually force myself to do
yep.
the work first.
Okay. Your pro tip, and you already mentioned you touched on this a little bit before you went to France, delegation. What's a
yes.
pro tip for that?
Wow. I really think that you need to delegate from day one because it's going to do so much me delegating helps me in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And I really just come back to that all the time. It helps me to know if it's a good way to test if someone's ready.
Right.
I mean, and it also makes people feel valued. It makes them feel part of the team based upon, I mean, obviously it's about attitude and how you ask and how you assign things. But, you know, I think that sometimes we think that we are irreplaceable and we're really not. When you stop and think about it, it's like, really? Could somebody else do this? Does it have to be done exactly the way I want it done?
There's more than one right way to
do
something.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And I think that it's okay to have someone try to do something. And because the other part of delegating is you delegate something, and then if you swoop in right behind and then fix it or change it, you're undoing your good work. And you're showing a lack of confidence in the other person.
Okay. So. And then last one, how do you deal with interruptions like phone, email, people stopping by the office, all that stuff?
Let's see. The emails and phone calls, that's an easy one for me to answer.
Okay.
You're gonna have to tell me the others again. But for emails, I will check my emails, like, depending upon if it's a deadline. I mean, my entire life is a publication cycle. And so I live deadline to deadline. So depending upon what deadline I'm on will determine if I check my emails every 30 minutes or 1 hour, or sometimes I won't check until I come in the morning, they're cleaned up. I won't check them again until lunch. Mm. Clean them up. How do I deal with interruptions or people stopping by the office? I don't deal with it as well because it's one of my values, and one of the things that I pride myself in is I'm available to every person at the company.
Open door policy.
So, but then what does that do to my productivity?
Yeah.
So I'm not the early morning person. I'm not the first person into the office, but I generally am the last person to leave. Mm-hmm. So I think that part of that is...
gives you some of that quiet time.
You know, I know that there are people who come in early at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. The phone doesn't start ringing till 8:30 or 9, and they get that concentrated time. My concentrated time is usually after 5 o'clock. So I've actually been the person who it's like, you know, 4:45 and the office main line rings and I'm answering and they're like, wow! CEO's answering the phone, and it's like, absolutely.
Right.
You know, and I take the trash out too.
I do want to say this, Kathy Gill, that you have been the best, amazing person to myself and many others that I've spoken to in the professional realm and those that know you personally. And you're a true master of time, and you spend it in being a positive force for everyone. And I thank you. And thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love working with you. You know that. You're amazing. Great. So thank you, Rhea.
I learned from the best.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If I could save time in a bottle, first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you.
And now a word from our person on the street.
So tell me, Dan, what are your thoughts on value management, which is essentially time management?
Mm-hmm. So when I think of time management, I think of Jan management. You know, what do I have but my time? So I guess my values today, of course, are considerably different than my values 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago, my time, my value would have been invested in my children.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that was with my children, in the same space as my children, was priority, was value to me. It didn't necessarily have to do anything with my priorities, my goals, just being.
What does Jan time look like now?
Jan time now looks quite a bit different. I still feel as though the most important thing I do is to give of myself, which would be my time.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it doesn't have to be in the same space as my children or even who I'm giving myself to. So maybe it's a little bit more like production now. It's more of a production thing that I do with my life now. Volunteering.
Right.
I love to volunteer.
Right.
I'm a little bit of a volunteer junkie.
Mm-hmm.
I still work.
Mm-hmm.
I like to produce at work. I like to. I have a very people-oriented kind of job. So mm-hmm. so I get that connection that I used to get from my children.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like to me you've got it figured it out. Thanks, Jan.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.